Yes, you're listening to Law and Gospel on this Rumination Thursday, August the 16th in the year of our Lord, 2018. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and being a Rumination Thursday, we have with us Pastor Wes Reimnitz. How you doing, Wes?
I'm doing fine, Tom. How are you?
Well, I was doing fine until I read the cover of the Post-Dispatch, which we've decided to talk about, entitled Priests Hid Sex Abuse for Decades. And this is, of course, a grand jury report. But it's only in the state of Pennsylvania, and it's not all the dioceses. How many priests did they say in that area were fooling around with children?
In Pennsylvania, they had gone through, I think there's roughly 8, but they got to look at 6. And out of the 6, they came up with 301 priests.
So when you're saying 8 or 6, you're talking about dioceses?
Dioceses, yeah. We'd call them districts in the Lutheran Church.
Right. And how many?
301.
Now, anytime I read anything in the Post-Dispatch, I don't believe it. Because they have such a horrible reputation of false. I mean, you can't turn to a page where they're not attacking Trump, which they never did with former president. But be that as it may, they did have some items in the a news report. Here's one of them. More than 24 current and former priests implicated during the grand jury investigation have flatly denied the report's allegations and had sued to block its release. They contend that the secret investigation trampled on their due process rights and that the public release of its findings threatened to unfairly ruin their reputation. So some of them are coming back and saying that these things that the report is talking about is not true. And, of course, it was a secret thing where anybody could come in, accuse a priest of something, and, of course, the priest could not defend himself in a grand jury situation. I'm not saying that a lot of this did not occur, but we do know of a high-ranking Roman Catholic official some years ago who was accused of this practice. He denied it. And finally, the so-called victim apologized to him and said it had never occurred. So maybe some of these have occurred, but at this point, we don't have the evidence because the grand jury thing is kind of secret.
Yes, I would agree with what you're saying in part. I caught an article by the Attorney General of Pennsylvania, and he did talk about that. Those names were redacted because of due process, and they're waiting further court injunctions on those.
Well said. Yes.
So those were taken out. However, I think one of the things you got to bear in mind is the dioceses had some fairly good records of the complaints, what they did, how they handled them. And in many cases that they're talking about, the priests did admit that they were pedophiles.
Yes. And the diocese gave a list of priests who had been removed for this. So it's not that they weren't doing anything, but it appears that there were a number of higher-ups that let some of this just go by and they moved the priest to another location.
Right. Yeah, I would agree with you on that. What would be interesting to see is how many of them are before 2002 and how many of them are after 2002.
Why that date?
Well, in 2002, it was shortly after the Boston scandal, if you kind of remember that, where the Boston Globe came out about the pedophiles that was going on.
Yes.
Pedophilia that was going on in their diocese. And the bishop, the cardinal councils met in Dallas in 2002 and came up with what we call the Dallas Charter. And the Dallas Charter really was for the protection of the children and the young people. And in there, one of their articles, they state that if a priest is found in child abuse, sexual abuse of a child, they should be removed from the ministry altogether.
Yes. So we're wondering how many since then, but they've had some recent reports again. What I found interesting were some of the Roman Catholic magazines, for example. One wrote, "I don't think they understand in Rome that this is not just a continuation of the sexual abuse crisis in the United States. This is a whole different chapter. There should be people in Rome telling the Pope this information, but they are not. And that is one of the biggest problems in this pontificate, and it's getting worse."
Right. In other words, they only did the state of Pennsylvania.
Wow.
In some of the articles that I read, it's Australia, Chile, so there's many other parts of the world as well. It's just not just locally around Pennsylvania.
And they say that because of a limit on being able to prosecute these people, because so much time has gone by, there were only two that could go to trial over this.
Yeah, so far. You know, the grand jury thought that there was more than just that 1,000. And they said the hotline that they've got set up, they've had over 150 responses in the last 24 hours of others coming forward. So how deep this goes in Pennsylvania, one only knows.
Well, we do know many people come forward, or some do, you know, because there's going to be money involved now. And how does a priest sometimes defend himself? I'm not saying this doesn't always happen. In fact, I knew two pastors recently in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that have been removed from the ministry. And I think this is a big thing we need to keep in mind, that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and the Roman Catholic Church do have a method of removing inappropriate priests or clergy. And the fact is, it seems like in the Roman Catholic Church, many of them did not get removed or even disciplined, but were just moved to a different diocese. That hopefully doesn't happen in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And in fact, the two pastors who were removed in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod were removed by the laity in the church once they found out what they were doing.
Right. Yeah, in the Roman Catholic instance, I mentioned that Dallas Charter where they say if they've been found, they should be removed. But that's in Article 5 of that charter. But the charter also goes on to say they can ask for dispensation and due process, and it sounds like they're let back in again.
Yes, yes. I think you're correct. It's interesting that this occurred on Wednesday's Post-Dispatch. In Saturday's Post-Dispatch, they had a big article on Willow Creek elders are quitting because what happened, their founder, Bill Hybels, has stepped down after an investigation that revealed allegations of misconduct with women that spanned decades. And what they have a photo of the lead pastor at Willow Creek right now, Heather Larson. And she says the entire board will step down by the end of the year. She should step down right now because God does not consider her a pastor, as he doesn't consider any woman to be a pastor who thinks they are. But, of course, once you get into this false teaching, once the devil gets a hold of you in certain areas, like pro-homosexual churches, pro-abortion churches, pro-women ordination churches, we ought not be surprised that the devil continues to put his foothold in such churches and create immoral relationships with staff and even members.
I would agree with you. I think that's well said. I think one of the problems that, that the Catholic Church is facing is who watches the watchman. If the bishops are supposed to be watching these priests and they're not taking care of it, who's watching the bishops and they're not taking care of the positions?
Well said. In fact, there's today they continued an article, and here's what it says. Vatican silent on abuse report. In other words, they're asking the Vatican, and they say, we have no comment at this time. And one of the professors at a Roman Catholic university near Philadelphia, Massimo Faglio, says, I don't think the Pope necessarily has to say something today. He needs time to understand the situation. But someone from the Vatican should say something.
Well, yes and no. I can understand that they want to get a response out of there, but I think they're measuring their response right now, because didn't the Pope take the side in the Chile case and of the priest, and then found out that he had to back down again off of that?
Some of these priests are at the Vatican now in high places that have been accused in the report. And that's going to be interesting to see what the Pope does with these individuals.
Yeah, they've got a real dilemma on how they're going to go forward on this and how they're going to support it. Because there's no doubt that there are abuse victims in Pennsylvania. And the question now comes, how much further widespread is this across the Roman Catholic Church, whether it's United States, Mexico, South America, Europe, you name it.
Yeah, one article I wrote said that 60% of the priests are homosexuals, and a lot of them don't just deal with little children, but with willing teenagers. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's going to be a problem for the homosexual community, because they don't want that immoral act to be put down at all. And it's an abomination before Almighty God. But if they think that it's okay to do this act with willing teenagers and older people, then how can they be coming out against the Vatican if there was a willingness on the part of the priest and the victim to do what they are doing?
You beat me to the comment. I got that as one of my comments. I agree with you.
Yeah. I tell you, the homosexual community is really in a problem right now in trying to criticize these folks when they go ahead and are doing this every day.
Yeah. You know, they wrote a good article with this Dallas Charter. But the problem is the implementation. They just don't implement what they've got there.
I was pretty happy with the president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, Cardinal Daniel DiNardo. Here's what they said. The report of the Pennsylvania grand jury again illustrates the pain of those who have been victims of the crime of sexual abuse by individual members of our clergy and by those who shielded abusers and so facilitated an evil that continued for years or even decades. As a body of bishops, we are shamed by and sorry for the sins and omissions by Catholic priests and Catholic bishops.
And that's that's Article 1, 2, and 3 of the Dallas Charter. I mean, he's practically quoting parts of it or, you know, giving you a synopsis of it. But part two is a guarantee. How do you effectively respond, and how do you remove the clergy that are involved in that?
Yes. For instance, one of the Lutheran churches with which we are no longer affiliated, Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, they just had two male pastors get married. I can't imagine what they would be saying from the pulpit against the Roman Catholic Church. But the only thing they're going to say is, well, many of these were children who had no choice and were forced into this. And, of course, that's true. But they need to realize that a number of young people willingly did this with priests, just like those two male pastors are willingly doing that because they're now married, thanks to the Supreme Court.
I agree with you. You know, I got a scripture passage I want you to evaluate.
Oh, go ahead.
In Mark chapter 9, verse 42, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better if a great millstone was hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea. Would we apply such a passage to what we're talking about today?
Yes, I've done that a number of times because that's a good translation. The King James, I think, has whoever offends one of these, but you read whoever causes one of these little ones to sin?
Yeah, ESV.
That's the correct translation. And therefore, any homosexual adult that tells children, whether they're teaching them in public school or teaching them because they adopted them, that the homosexual lifestyle is not an abomination before Almighty God, they are definitely going against that particular Bible verse.
So it's that sin and almost any other sin that we would run across.
Well, some people keep saying that that's really not a sin. For example, there's an argument that Jesus never spoke out against homosexuality, but they forget that everything in the Bible that was said was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And there's a section in Romans 1, is there not?
Yes, well, there's that whole section of Romans 1 that talks about homosexuality, you know, lying with the same sex.
Yeah, one of the things that's been bothering me is you get some Christian pastors who give a song and dance that we're making too much against homosexuals and those who do abortion without realizing that all of us fall short of the glory of God. We're all terrible sinners. And a lot of times the church gives the impression that those two sins are particularly bad. But here's my response to that. Where else has the Supreme Court ruled that such immorality is no longer a sin?
I agree.
That's why we're talking about those two, because a lot of people think if the law of the land okays it, then God okays it. And we need to remind them of during the Nazi times, the law of the land against Jews was not something that God okayed.
Well said. And really, in particular, on a Sunday morning when we worship and we make confession of sin, we're confessing all the sins that God calls sin, not what we call sin, but what God calls sin. And there in receiving the absolution, and we receive Christ's forgiveness for all that he has called sin.
Yeah, there's not a big division among families today over a lot of things that are sins. I don't think we have to talk too much about illegal drugs being a sin because parents and children, they recognize that. But what we're dealing with is something now that the government has said is okay to do, and that is dividing a lot of families. And so, you know, what did Jesus say to Peter once he said, well, I'm not going to let you be crucified? He said,
yeah, get behind me, Satan.
Exactly. And a lot of people give the impression that Jesus was always nice and he talked in a calm voice. I don't think those people in the temple recognized that when the whip was coming against them.
Well, and I also, you know, how about that passage where he says, I've come to you know, bring strife between a mother and a father and a father.
Oh, that's a good one. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that same thing going on.
And that happens automatically. I mean, how many times have you and I been counseling parents whose children are now living together with the other spouse prior to marriage? And it really causes a division in the family. And so the only thing we can do is pray that these individuals recognize the sin that they are doing, because they're in big trouble when they do that, because I've never met anyone who is repentant of doing that while they still remain together.
Right. And didn't you get that letter from a lady that, you know, gave the word of God concerning certain issues, and she was looked down upon for having said that?
Yes, and this was within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation when one woman was for abortion and also for homosexuality, thinking that people are born that way. You know, once we start that argument that the way you are is the way you were born, then how are we going to punish a pedophile? Because pedophiles are born that way. They have a desire that you and I don't have, and we can thank God for that. But that's part of their inherited sin. What will we call it? Original sin.
Sin, yep.
And why God has some people have tendencies towards sin in different ways, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is they still make a choice to follow that sin, whether it's pedophilia, homosexuality, abortion, or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Did you hear the Clinton daughter today? She came out for abortion because she says, because these women have had abortions and therefore able to continue to work, we have gained in our country $1.7 billion more in salaries and such. And she thought that that was a good idea why abortion should continue.
Wasn't there a quote by Mother Teresa to Clinton about
Well, that was to her mother, Hillary Clinton, when she asked her, why don't we have a woman president? And what did Mother Teresa say?
She's already been aborted.
Yeah, you probably aborted her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm not opposed to a woman president. You take a look in Britain. Who was that woman prime minister that was so good?
Thatcher?
Yeah, Thatcher. And then you've got the one in Israel that was. So women can be wonderful leaders. There's no doubt about that. But if they have immorality as the basis of what they're doing, or a kind of a socialism that is contrary to the scripture, that is something we really need to be aware of.
I think you hit the nail on the head, and it's the same way whether it's a Catholic church or any church in America. I should say Roman Catholic.
So we need to be very, how shall I say, compassionate towards victims who underwent this, because a lot of times they think it's their own fault. That's why a lot of times they didn't report it. They were scared to be being accused of drawing priests or pastors into this. And that's not true. It's always the fault, number one, of the devil, who definitely gives that temptation to clergy, and they ought to be dealt with appropriately. And we can be glad we're members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, where we have a hierarchy that does take care of serious situations, unlike, for example, Willow Creek, that's not part of a denomination at all, and therefore there's really no accountability on the part of the leadership there.
Right, you're talking about the bylaws of the Senate that deal with such items as
even a lay member, if they are excommunicated, can use our appropriate procedures in the Synod to have that excommunication annulled. And that's really, really important, because I've experienced a pastor trying to excommunicate some of his members for ridiculous reasons. It took 3 years, but they were found to be innocent of the charges, and the congregation had to repent of what they had done.
We have no problem with the truth being coming out and things being laid out where it should be.
Absolutely. And that's because we don't want anything to get in the way of the preaching of the gospel.
Don't want one of the little ones to fall.
Boy, that's that one verse you brought in that I think is very important. So that kind of concludes. Where are you preaching next?
I got this Sunday off. I'm going down to Kentucky to St. Paul's Lutheran Church there in Paducah.
Oh, wow. Well, that's going to be a good trip. And then you should be back by next Thursday.
Yep, and I preach over in Clinton and Chestnut.
Oh, excellent. All right, I'm Tom Baker, and that was Reverend Wes Reimnitz. We thank you for listening. You may have some questions about what we said today or what we said yesterday on decision theology and also predestination. Tomorrow is Open Mic Friday. You can phone me, and I can attempt to answer your questions. Until then, I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.